I'm going to be referring to a number of passages, but the first one is from Genesis right at the beginning, and we're reading from Genesis 3, verses 2 to 13, and it says this: "The woman said to the snake, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden.' But God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the snake said to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit was good and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it this you have done?' The woman said, 'The snake deceived me, and I ate.'" So I had a sabbatical last June, July, August. And it's funny, as I was preparing this sermon, it's like God spoke to me so much in that time, but I'm still not quite there, still not quite learnt the lessons that he was teaching me. I am standing in front of you, a complete work in progress. I am the perfect woman in progress. God is going to make me perfect, but I'm not there yet. And I want to talk about shame. And firstly, want to think about, what is shame? You see, shame is disgust with ourselves. It's when we tell ourselves we're gross, or you might use another word, and other people should avoid us. Another thing that joins the shame party is negative self-talk. Hurling mental insults at ourselves and deep criticisms. And the thing about shame is that dealing with it is not pleasant. It's not a nice experience, as it forces us to look into where we find our identity and worth. And that's why many of us try and hide from our shame, much like Adam and Eve hid from God in the garden when they chose to go their own way and not trust God's goodness. When they did that, that's when they experienced shame for the first time. And what did they do? They hid. But I totally believe that when we deal with shame in a healthy way, it can strengthen our identity and can make us more resilient in the long run. And some possible signs of shame, both within the body and in behaviour, are these: an increased body temperature, increased heart rate and blood pressure, depression and insomnia, in behavior, avoiding friends or avoiding getting too close to people, self-criticism, perfectionism, disordered eating. These are some of the ways that shame can play out in our body and our behavior. And when we look at shame through a biblical lens, we see that in Genesis, humans were created in the image of God. And they were given authority to work with God, to collaborate with Him, in order that creation would flourish and that they could live in a loving relationship with their Creator. That's humanity's identity, that we might collaborate with God, that we might flourish and see this world flourish, and that we might have deep communion with God. But as we have already thought about, this relationship between humanity and God changed the moment that they listened to the lies from the serpent. They stopped trusting God and started thinking they were rulers of their own lives. And can you see the shift in identity that took place right there at the beginning? They were no longer able to see themselves as beautiful image bearers of God. Instead, they embraced the lie that they could improve their own lives by working for it and striving. And it's here we see shame come into human experience. They suddenly felt ashamed of their bodies and covered them up. They embraced a lie, and that lie threatened their true identity, and then they felt shame. And the same is true for us. Behind our shame is a lie that is affecting our true identity. But the truth is, every one of us reflects the image of God. We are known and loved by Him. Everyone is created to be a part of God's family. The whole story of the Bible is about God doing the work required to bring us back into His family. My son Freddie, he doesn't have to do anything to earn his place in my family. He didn't have to pass a test. He doesn't have to do enough good deeds. He is adopted into my family. He is my son for no other reason than he is adopted into my family. And those of you who have birth children, your children didn't have to do anything to earn their place in your family. They don't have to work hard enough. They were born in. They were born into your family. And each one of us were born into God's family. All it takes to reflect the image of God is to be born. And you know, there's lots of people who don't realize that they reflect God's image. But every person who has been born reflects the image of God. And He desires to bring them back into His family fold. And you see that in Genesis 22 when God is talking to Abraham and He says, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of the enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God's plan was always for all the nations to be blessed through Abraham and Israel. But Jesus made a way for everyone. And you all know, I'm sure, the well-known parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You see, the Father never stopped loving the Son. He never stopped seeing him as his son. Shame and lies told the prodigal son that he was no longer worthy to be a part of the family. Shame told him, "I am a bad person," rather than, "I made a bad decision. I made a mistake. That decision isn't my identity. Yes, I ask forgiveness for it. I learn from that mistake, but I am not a bad person. I am a son." And the Father, as the Son comes back, he restores him. He restores his identity. He shows him who he is, what family he is a part of, that he didn't have to listen to the lies. So when our shame is warning signal lights in us, you know, I like to look at it as a car dashboard. We were thinking about this at my church. Our emotions are like our car dashboard. You know, when something is happening in our emotions, it's like a car dashboard flicking up that there's something wrong with your engine. You know, it's showing you that there's a problem. Quite often, our emotions are showing us that there's something going on here. There's something not quite right, and we need to come before God and work through that with him. It's showing you that there's a lie getting in the way of your true identity. So shame allows us to challenge and examine what we believe. It allows us to pause and consider who we are and thank God for our true identity in him. So shame can be helpful. It can allow you to come back to knowing your true identity in God. But there are some problems with shame. And it can lead to a fixed mindset about ourselves. We can label ourselves as failures or stupid, and they become fixed truths. And we start saying, "I am stupid. I am a failure." It can also lead to blame, blaming ourselves over and over again. I don't know about you, but if I had been that prodigal son, well, I have been, let's be honest, I have a tendency to just blame myself viciously, a vicious cycle of, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done this. Oh, you're not worthy. Oh, why did you do that? How could you do that?" And it just is a vicious cycle of blaming myself. And it gets me nowhere and just leads to shame and pushes me further away from God rather than taking ownership for my mistake, apologizing for them, and coming to God, receiving his grace and his forgiveness. It can also lead to isolation. Shame makes us want to hide, as we found out in the Genesis story. But also, and this is a challenging one for me, you can use shame as a tool. This is something I definitely don't mean to do, but can see it in my parenting sometimes. I use shame as a behavior tool. And I don't believe that's of God or from God, and I don't believe that's going to get the best out of my son either. But it's so ingrained within me to do that, and I want to break that cycle of doing that. I want him to know that he might make mistakes, but he is never a mistake. He might make bad decisions, but he is never bad. And I don't want to use shame as a tool. So how can we navigate shame with wisdom? And the first thing we need to do is expose it to empathy. Relationship is the only way we can find healing. That's the only way. And we were made for relationship, relationship with God and relationship with others. So of course, that's the way we find true healing. is in relationship. We can share our shame with someone. And I don't know about you, but when I've done that, I have felt so vulnerable. And it's not easy. And it's the opposite of what we want to do. What we want to do is run away and hide. But learning to expose your shame to empathy can help you become what Brené Brown calls shame resilient. So the first step, really simple steps, practical steps, is to name your shame. Secondly, summon courage to say no to the natural instinct to run away. Thirdly, step outside yourself. The reality is we say things to ourselves that we would never dream of saying to our friends and family. So ask yourself, if a friend or a family member came to me with this, what would I be saying to them? How would I be showing empathy to them? If you need to ask for forgiveness for a foolish mistake or a behavior, do it. Remember, the whole story of the Bible is about God restoring humans to their true image bearers' identity. And as Rachel said, Jesus didn't just take our guilt on the cross, he took our shame too. And then the final step, the fourth step, sorry, is sharing your shame with God. Don't make that mistake of running and hiding like Adam and Eve did. So step one is naming your shame. Step two, summon the courage to say no to running and hiding. Three, step out of yourself. Four, share your shame with God. And five, share your shame with others. Because choosing to use your shame as an opportunity to deepen your relationship with God and with someone else opens the opportunity up for them to do the same, for them to be vulnerable. And then just to finish, we're going to look at Jesus because he's the best person to look at and read the words that were spoken after his baptism. It says, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, aligning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. When did this take place? Before Jesus had started his ministry, before he had lifted a finger, before he had cast out any demons, healed any sick people, done any miracles. Before that, he was told he is God's Son. He was told he is loved. For me, shame and lies leads me to believe I need to work to earn God's love. It leads me to believe I need to get affirmation from others. And this leads me to not take serious the idea of Sabbath and rest. It leads me to compare myself to others and think that success is about numbers. But something God has been talking to me continuously about, because I'm clearly not listening properly, is know your identity in Christ. We are loved by God for whom we are, not what we do. And so I challenge us this morning, as Rachel already has, to see if shame is causing us to have a skewed identity, view of our identity. And if that's the case, let's challenge it. Because we don't have to work to earn God's love. I still haven't mastered this, even though God's been speaking to me so much about it. And I think why I find Sabbath and rest so hard is that so much of my identity and sense of self is rooted in what I do rather than who I am and whose I am. I need to learn to put my identity, we need to learn to put our identity in whose we are and who we are. We are made in the image of God. We are made to collaborate with Him. And we are also made to have fun, to rest in Him. When was the last time you had fun? You know, if you don't think God is playful, look at the animals He created. Look at the giraffe. Look at the ostrich. Look at Jesus and His life. And what He did. God wants us to play and to have fun and to rest in Him just because we are His children, for no other reason than that. So if I was giving us homework, it would be to have fun. Go away today and have fun. Enjoy resting in God's presence and doing nothing necessarily. You know, I always feel that I need to be productive. I've got to be doing something. And that's because my identity is found in that. My identity isn't found in that I'm just a child of God who's loved and known by Him. So let's pray now and let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any lies that are stopping us from knowing our true identity and are stopping us from resting and having fun. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your Spirit that is present in this place. And I pray, Holy Spirit, now, that You would reveal to us any lies, anything that is blocking us from knowing our true identity as Your children. Holy Spirit, may we learn this week to rest in You, to abide in You, to have fun in Your presence, delighting in Your creation, delighting in our friends and family. Come, Holy Spirit. And do a work in each one of us. We are open and willing to You moving and transforming us more and more into who You created us to be. Your image bearers, Your collaborators in working to bring Your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in Your mighty name. Amen.